Welcome to the PAL Podcast, the first podcast for parents and caregivers in the performing arts and the institutions who support them. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts. PAL, thanks for tuning in. We're going to be hearing from the co-creators of the Motherhood Reading Series here in Philadelphia. That is four mother playwrights and four mother directors presenting readings featuring parent artists performing them. We're so excited because not only are we seeing a platform for motherhood in the theater, but this reading series also comes with childcare. That's right, and it's not just sitters on site. It is a show for kids happening in the studio downstairs from the readings where the parents will be enjoying their festival. So the kids get a free show, and they get to enjoy theater, become appreciators, and have caregivers then play with them and bring them all the joy, love, and support of participating and engaging in art in their community. On top of that, breastfeeding mothers are welcome to come enjoy the readings while sitting in the audience space, and younger children are also welcome to come in with their parents. So what the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival has done is created a purely accessible platform for motherhood and theater, and these are professional theater artists who are allowed to bring their motherhood into the space along with their art. This was a dream project of PAL's a year ago when we presented Motherhood Breaking the Silence at our first forum, and the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival took this idea and collaborated with us and made it a reality. So today, we are going to meet the co-founders of the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival, and their two favorite words are celebrate and inclusivity, and I think we're going to see why. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for PAL's second podcast interview. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with the two co-founders of Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival. You can check them out at phillywomenstheaterfest.org. That's theater with an R-E. And PWTF was our first partner organization when we launched PAL last year in Philadelphia. And today, we're speaking with them about the incredible Motherhood Theater Festival that they have happening August 2nd through 5th, 2018. So, Polly and Christine, welcome. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
That's a pleasure. So if you want to, could you say your full names and what your role is with the festival?
Sure. So my name is Polly Edelstein, and I am the Artistic Director of the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival.
Managing Director of the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival.
Beautiful. Incredible. I have just known you guys for a short time and have been blown away with everything that I've seen you do in the past and everything that you've developed this year so quickly. So I would just love to hear, in your own words, how would you describe PWTF's mission? Like, what is your hope, your goal?
I think that this is Polly. I think that our big goals and missions can be solidified to the quick buzz line of creating opportunities for women in theater. We have a longer mission that goes more into detail about what we do, but that's what we've really done year after year after year.
That's beautiful.
Yes, and this is Christine, and I would just add that one of our favorite buzzwords is celebration, because we want to celebrate the achievement of women theater artists and the ingenuity, and also the festival gives us the opportunity to be a network for professional development for all marginalized communities, but specifically women and as playwrights, technicians, designers, administrators, from a holistic look at theater and the arts.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that word celebration. There's something so positive and productive about it, that you're coming at this with a lot of joy, it sounds like. And from knowing the two of you, that's definitely present. So how did you two meet, and when was that?
Christina and I, this is Polly. Christina and I met in grad school in 2012. We both went through Villanova's program together, and we did our theses on the same day or the same weekend, along with Lauren Sanslau, who's on our advisory council, and all of our different thesis projects were very women empowering, and so we were drawn together and themed around that for our theses weekend.
Whoa, brilliant. So what was the inspiration for the formation of the festival specifically?
Sure. So this is Christine. And at some point in the last semester of our studies at Villanova University, and by the way, Villanova has been a huge supporter and sponsor of the festival, so we're indebted to them in more ways than one. But in the last semester, at some point, I recall Polly saying to me, and it probably had something to do with the fact that we were working on our thesis project, that, you know, Christine, after we graduate, I'm going to come up with an idea to serve women in theater, and when I do, I'm going to call you. And then,
that's amazing.
Yeah, sure enough, she called me and said, hey, do you want to grab drinks? I have that idea.
What developed from, what were your themes before this year? Is this your fourth year?
I approached Christine in November 2014 over drinks, mm-hmm. and was like, what about a festival? And she was like, what about festival? And
wow.
It was, yeah, that was the sort of the short version of how that conversation went. And, you know, I would say, what is it, 8 months later, we had a festival where we did a fully produced play, and we did two staged readings, solo performance pieces, including Christine's one-woman musical, I Can Dress Myself. And
you did that in 8 months.
We did that in 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Polly always likes to tell the story that she approached me and said, how about 10 days and $5,000? And I said, how about one weekend and $15,000? Yeah, I was relatively certain the festival would cost, year one would be, you know, $5,000 underwriting budget, it would be 10 days long, it would be in August. And Christine was like, how about we do it the March after that August, do a weekend one, and have it be, you know, $15,000 budget. So we're somewhere in the middle of all of that.
We met somewhere in the middle, and we really spent a lot of time building the foundation in this first 8 months. So it was a labor of love.
Like what were the themes of the years before this year? Or what were your features?
I don't know if year one had a theme in so much as it was, we're here, this is the thing we're doing, welcome to the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival. Year two was centered around risk-taking and what it means to take a risk and how the entity of the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival is a risk. Year three, we really focus on different voices and intersectionality, which is always a focus of ours, but was really highlighted in our piece that we did, our main production, Hear Me War, which was a 9-person musical where the team was, you know, full of people from different backgrounds, different gender identities, different race, ethnicity, and celebrating that, once again, celebrate our favorite word as a way that we can all come together and craft something together and have a shared mission together to lift people up.
Wow.
And this year, very much inspired by meeting you, Rachel, last June, has been dedicated to motherhood theater.
I love it. What I adore is that the ideas that the two of you have cultivated and allowed to evolve each year really prove the theory that when you allow for the diversity of leadership, for example, women in leadership, that it also provides for a diversity of themes and a diversity of storytelling. And in such a short time, I feel like you've already exemplified that you are pursuing that intentionally, which is really extraordinary. And I love that you just mentioned that motherhood is the theme this year. And partnering with Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival has been just a dream for Powell, because I do feel the two of you understand what it means to break ground and to celebrate visibly, like you're talking about. And Christine, you were the one who did the one-woman musical, from what I understand, that first year, and you were pregnant in your performance. Could you talk a little bit about what inspired I Can Dress Myself? The one-woman musical?
Sure. Absolutely. I've had a long journey with that piece of theater, both in the festival and prior to
prior to the festival ever existing.
Hmm.
And when I performed the piece outdoors as part of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia when I was pregnant, I was actually the second time I had done the piece with the festival, and that was an abridged outdoor version, but I did do the piece in its full length in our first festival. But prior to that, it was really born during my thesis. Going back to the story again, during my thesis at Villanova when I was a graduate student, on that same weekend when, Polly also presented her final work for our graduate program, and the piece came out of a couple of, interesting experiences that I had or conversations that I had had with women in my life who have had, some sort of impact on me, whether they were peers or friends or mentors, and I ended up creating these composite characters. And initially, I was taking some songwriting classes, and I ended up writing these two songs about a couple of women whose lives and experiences had inspired me. And then I was taking a solo performance class at Villanova, and I realized I wanted these songs to actually be incorporated into a fuller length story where I could really talk about the experiences of women, their relationships with men, and use theater as a vehicle for social change, to talk about women's rights and their place in the world as mothers, as career women, etc. So it started as a couple of songs, and then it turned into a 45-minute piece of theater with five songs that has continued to have legs beyond its initial presentation at Villanova, and the festival has been a really perfect vehicle for it and a really nice opportunity for me to explore the artistic realm, because most of the time I'm wearing my administrative hat in the festival. But it was a really unique experience to be able to perform the piece as a pregnant mother-to-be, because when I first wrote it, I myself was not a mother, although two of my three characters were. So it was a very new experience for me to take on these characters and become these women, from a new perspective.
Yeah.
As a mother today.
Absolutely. So you,
really incredible.
You had the experience of performing as a mother before motherhood and then in the throes of it. What was that evolution like? I mean, do you remember anything significant, or did it feel just the same, but...
Yeah, it was a very interesting transition for me. In so many ways, I had the same relationship with the piece because, I always had kind of that nurturing feeling inside. But, one of the opening piece, the opening song is called Daughters of Eve, and this idea that, I was about to be the mother of a young woman and bring a daughter into the world certainly changes the context. And certainly, it certainly heightened my relationship with the piece. And I think when I first wrote the piece, one of the things I struggled with was incorporating my own story into it. So I embodied these three women that I created, these three composite characters based on, stories I've read or people I've met. But then, where do I come into the piece? And I think the fact that, I was experiencing the beginnings of motherhood helped me to define what my role was.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, I love it. And Polly, when starting even with the inception of this idea and watching as it's evolved and been presented to your community, what impact do you feel festivals like yours or yours specifically have had on the local community? On Philadelphia specifically?
I think that one of the reasons when I approached Christine and said, let's do a festival as opposed to starting a theater company, that a festival is just inherently a more open, inclusive, and accessible model than the traditional theater company, in that we're built to include as many people as we, as our capacity allows.
Right.
And that it's also, you know, beyond, well, theaters, most theaters have, you know, missions that are more than just, like, being about, you know, whoever started it. But I think when you start with that model of this is for everybody, then you have, you know, an edge on folks. And I think that we really tried to embody that. We have something for everyone. With our professional development program, if we can't, you know, use your work as a playwright or use you as a director, an actor, a technician, whatnot, your professional development has always been open for everyone and has either been free or very inexpensive. We don't turn people away. Most of our programming has been suggested donation or in. I think that that spirit of inclusivity and true inclusivity is unique in the arts and all that way. And I think that people can be a little more protective and ego-centered and precious, for lack of a better word, about their work, whereas we, you know, going back to celebration is fun when you have more people to celebrate with.
I love this conversation, especially because one of the topics that continues to come up for everyone is this idea of sustainability. And I think when you talk about the festival model versus the company model, and, you know, we talk about apprenticeship models, we talk about, you know, regional theater models, the question that comes up a lot these days is sustainability. Like, how do you create diversity and restructure things and still allow your organization to float? And it sounds like you have designed your organization to be malleable for the people as opposed to the other way around, which I think is what's creating roadblocks right now for diversity. We talk about it a lot in parent inclusion, that parents do not feel that they can succeed in many of the structures because the structures are antagonistic to the lifestyle and the structures refuse to change, as opposed to people building structures that are accessible to the people that they want to tell stories with, which is a perfect transition to what I'm curious about now, which is for both of you, from your individual perspectives, with this idea of inclusivity, why is motherhood, I know we've talked about this before, but I'd love to hear your words on why is motherhood an important theme in terms of finding that celebration and finding that platform and that inclusion?
Funny, because I think of POVTF and our members of our staff who are mothers, Christine, and also Anne Goodman, who has been our development director, who's taking a bit of an absence as she's had a second child. And I think of how we had our fundraising meeting a month after Christine gave birth at her house.
Yes.
And we passed around that day. I have another Christine story about how we had our final debrief meeting 2 days before today. And that's for maybe another time. But it just felt very like, of course we're going to do this because these women are part of our community. And yeah, why wouldn't we make it where Christine is wonderful, Anne is wonderful, their children are wonderful, and, you know, of course we can have children in a meeting or meet in New Jersey for a fundraising meeting while Neve's an infant, or, you know, meet at my co-working place and quite literally pass Neve between every single member of our staff. and I think that it's a shame that there are people out there that lose wonderful people because they're not willing to adapt.
Yeah.
And there are so many women that have children. I don't know what that percentage is, but I'm going to say that it's a lot. And why this is a talented group of artists and administrators and theatrical practitioners of all kinds, and to not be able to have those voices because you're not willing to make the accommodations that these people now need because their parents just seem lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And no, very few theater people I know are lazy. It's not the easiest thing, I will say, for every company. It's been pretty easy for us at times, and there's a model that people can follow or create
to have parents in the room to make the room a parent and child-friendly place. And it just takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of acknowledgement that we are committing to being our best selves, which includes having these voices in the room.
Mm.
Yes. This is Christine chiming in. And I, as I mentioned, am a mother. So, so from a very personal perspective, motherhood is a wonderful theme to explore. And since becoming a mother, I have really, probably one of the best pieces of advice I received was, if you integrate your child into your existing life, they will be adaptable and, they will learn to, you know, they will integrate, and they will also have something to look up to and admire because they will see you living and breathing your passion and your life.
Mm.
And they will, your children will then learn to aspire to their own interests and goals and so forth. And that will make your parenthood journey, you know, rewarding in one way or another. So, I mean, I'm a big advocate for breastfeeding mothers and public facilities to breastfeed. One of the most frustrating experiences I had was attending the U.S. Open and there being no place for me to pump. When I was away from my daughter all day, and, you know, and wow. You're in the great outdoors and I needed a place to pump and ended up having to use a first aid facility, but no one really knew what to tell me to do or where to go. And so being an advocate for these types of things, whether it's at a sporting venue or at a theater venue, it's really important that we're talking about this very real part of our society, and that we're catering to parenthood and mothers and making events and venues accessible. So if we as PWCF can play a part in having this conversation and creating accessible venues and making parenthood a regular part of our, you know, structure and opening our arms and our facilities to their needs, then we're doing something meaningful and important. And it's just very interesting because before becoming a parent, I just don't think that I was privy to a lot of conversations about parenthood with other artists.
Mm.
I don't think that it's something that people talk about all the time.
Right.
The nights are late, the days are long, the schedules are sometimes last minute, salaries and benefits are not always conducive to people even thinking about having a family. And there is a fear that if you talk about goals when it comes to marriage and family, that people will think you aren't serious about being an artist.
Mm.
So, again, having a place, creating a place where conversations can happen, to me is very exciting because you can live in both those worlds. You know, you can create a career for yourself in the arts and also have a family.
Yeah.
But there are challenges, and so we need to be making those steps towards overcoming those challenges and changing the system one baby step at a time, no pun intended.
And just
add one final thing.
Yes, please.
Is when we had our first festival, besides the fact that motherhood just came about because I had the opportunity to speak to you, Rachel, and I got so excited about the work that you're doing, and it seemed like the perfect marriage. Oh my gosh, we have to get involved. We just have to get involved with the partnership. So it was a no-brainer. But in our very first festival, and Holly will remember this, we had a leadership forum, and the panelists started talking about their experiences, those who were mothers, and it was emotional.
Mm.
People in the room were breaking down, were, you know, talking about their fears, talking about hiding their pregnancies, because they just didn't feel like it was a safe place to talk about this thing that was happening to them, you know?
So that was very eye-opening for me, and it made me realize, wow, we've created a safe space. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we collaborated last year, PAL and PWTF, on the first forum, the theme was motherhood breaking the silence. Because I think that we're at a time now when mothers are refusing to keep quiet anymore. But if anything, just because it's not sustainable. The silence itself, I'm finding, is what can break the back just as easily as the obstacles themselves. And so for you to hear those emotional conversations by creating the safe space was exactly what we had found when we started to do research before our first forum and our first panel. And so to have it culminate into this collaboration between PAL and Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival as a motherhood reading festival, I mean, we have 4 mother playwrights, 4 mother directors, and then we have a kids show that's also a new play with the mother playwright, mother director, and it's providing childcare, which we'll get into later, and breastfeeding is welcome in this space. I mean, the light years of difference where we're saying not only no to the silence, but we're breaking it, and breaking it so much so that we are actually making the theater productions about breaking that silence. I believe so much in that opportunity, and I'm excited to see where it goes, which also leads me to my question for you both, which is, what are you most excited to explore with this festival?
Oh, wow. I think I am most excited to have our concurrent running child care studio, children's programming with our reading, and to have that space for parents who want to have their children experience the show while they experience the show with adults, and especially for our artists who are going to be able to do a show in the upstairs studio while their children are watching a show in the downstairs studio. Mm. And it feels very good to be able to have everybody in the same room together.
Yes.
I second all that, and I suppose, this is Christine, I suppose I would just add that I think there are some pretty fabulous mom bosses in Philadelphia, and these parent artists and playwrights and directors are organized and reliable and on point and full of creative ideas and energy, and I'm just so excited that there is an outlet for that talent.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm excited about, is just to have this group of people working together, sharing their resources and ideas.
Mm. That, I'm really excited about all of those things as well. I'm gearing up for this week. I'm sure it has been quite the undertaking because there are so many pieces. So what has been, do you think, even logistically or artistically, what has been your biggest challenge putting this together?
I think that There's always a lot of moving parts. These are just different moving parts, and being able to navigate those, and I am someone who, somewhat occasionally to my detriment, loves to say yes to people all the time, and trying to be able to say yes while not over-promising and under-delivering is always a struggle, but especially this year where people are going to be having their children in the space and have, arranged childcare to make sure that everything runs as smooth as possible is, I think, the big challenge with the concurrent running. So we've often never had things run concurrently. We've never had 2 spaces going at once. So that's a new thing for us as well.
Yes.
Just all the things we hadn't thought of. Because this is new,
Yeah.
As Polly just said, 2 things running consecutively and adding this component of having a young audience in the studio where we're offering childcare and a performance
and just making sure that we're serving both our young audience and our adult audience well. It's just there are going to be things that we just didn't know because we haven't done this before.
Yeah. But that also excites me about the art that we're making and the way that we're making it when those questions come up. So for this festival, the art that you all are making and the way that you're making it, I think, is exciting when it defies convention, not only in what's presented, but the way it's presented. I think that's why immersive theater is seeing such a resurgence, and those more traditional theaters are trying to find a way to reach young people. And I think it's because we do not defy convention enough, even in mainstream presentation.
Right.
And so this act of defiance is actually pretty socially conscious. And to do that with art, it's not heavy-handed. It's just incorporating people. And that's exciting to me because I want to see what sort of content and energy flows from those rooms with those audiences gathered with these pieces. I think it'll be a different audience than perhaps most theaters experience, which is a conversation for another day, but an exciting, exciting potential is there, I think.
Yeah.
Why is it so important for non-parents and even non-artists to come and experience these stories since you've seen them?
This is Polly. I think for non-artists specifically, it's a diverse viewpoint of motherhood. All of our pieces discuss motherhood, and they all do it completely different ways.
Mm.
And I think that is something that is so true to, you know, being a citizen of the world, in that motherhood does not look the same for any single mother. And I think for those who are artists but not parents, I think one of the things that feels almost silly to say is that many, you know, young people who are artists out there, myself, other young people will be parents one day. And if you want a world where you can be a parent and an artist and a world that supports that, you should work on making the world that you want now for later.
Mm.
And beyond that, I think that there is a lot to learn from people who are able to be parents and artists at the same time. As a non-parent myself, I sometimes feel deeply overwhelmed just with my own life and the things that I have going on, while I'm also trying to do art and to run the Philadelphia Women's Theater Festival. I can't imagine at this point doing it with a child. And so it's a bit of a humbling and eye-opening and inspiring learning moment to watch someone like Christine, who works and also does freelance creative gigs and also is an excellent mother to a very fun almost 2-year-old, we get bogged down in the minutiae of stuff a lot of time. People of all ages, people of all generations, and at the end of the day, you could have a whole lot more stuff on your plate and still make it work. And so why not just put on a good attitude and do it?
Mm. I'm really excited also about the idea that we are asking non-parents to explore the perspective, to, you know, for the sort of awareness and education and enlightenment, and also the idea that the mothers that are going to be featured in these stories are all going to be so diverse that I don't think I've read a single stereotypical mother character in reading through these plays and these descriptions. And not only that, but there are multiple of them. And so you're kind of blowing out of the water this niche idea of what the mother character is, which I think content-wise is really important for non-parents to be exposed to artistically. And I know as a mother, I'm very grateful for it because that makes my conversations in real life much easier because the expectations aren't so one-dimensional about who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are your, would you recommend theater festivals or theater companies taking this on, and why or why not?
This is Christine, and I mean, absolutely. I would love to see more of this. I would love to create a model that other companies here in Philadelphia and elsewhere can replicate. That would be a beautiful thing. Especially with the type of material that we have featured in the festival, as you and Polly were just saying. You know, these are universal stories. These are stories that speak to a diverse audience, and that refuse to put people into stereotypes or boxes, but to look at the full breadth of our life and the cultures that are so rich in, here in our community, but in our world. And these are the stories we need to tell. And I especially think the coupling the reading series with the young audience component is huge. And I think it's breaking the mold away from straight caretaking or babysitting type model and incorporating the young audience into theater goers themselves so that they can have an immersive, creative experience while their families enjoy the same thing. And it makes it accessible, it makes it convenient, it makes it affordable, and it makes it enriching. And I really hope that this is just the first step for us, and that we're able to grow this model and continue this model, and that others will latch on. And that we can find, you know, ways to fund it and ways to promote it so that it can become a model that can be replicated.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And I can speak for everyone in PAL and with both of you. It's a partner organization that our goal is to make sure that this model does get replicated and is shared with as many people as possible. And Polly and Christine, thank you so much for joining me for this interview. It has been so rewarding and so exciting. I look forward to this festival and interviewing you more afterwards and spreading the word. So I hope, I wish you break a leg with everything coming up this week. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find out more about this incredible festival at phillywomenstheaterfest.org. That's theater with an R-E, phillywomenstheaterfest.org. And the plays that will be featured are Water in My Hands by Emma Gibson, Brown Eyed Rapunzel by Monica Florey, Refrigerator Mother by Alessandra Most, and Zen in the Art of Mourning a Mother by Emma Goldman Sherman. We hope you look those playwrights up, we hope you look up this festival, and we hope you let us know what you think about an entire reading series dedicated to mother artists. More soon. Thanks for joining us. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts, PAL. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website at PAALtheatre.com. Let's organize, network, and create.